2019. I want you to realize that outside, those are not lights. That's the real sun. I got up this morning at 4:40, and I knew the sun was going to come up, and I was really looking forward to it when it came up this morning at 6:30. All week long, I was watching the weather map, and they kept saying Friday night, Saturday night is going to be rough, and Sunday morning we would see the sunshine again, and what a welcome time it was. Got a few visitors today. Welcome to this class. Thank you so much for coming. To the class members, thank you for coming. It's such a joy to be able to come here and be among good friends. We all come from different backgrounds, but we're here for one purpose. We're enjoying the journey. We're going to heaven. And you got to know that. You realize that we're going to heaven, and be happy about this. How many of you have read your Bible this week? Thank goodness for that. Those of you that believe what we say, let's repeat what we say. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Thank you so very much. So very much. Last night, you ever notice that the lessons that I prepare, this came to me Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, I couldn't put it together. Thursday, I put it together. And I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to Billy Colbert more than anything else. I convict myself as I read these lessons and do research. And I have no set goals or anything like that, but sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, I believe in talking to the Holy Spirit a lot, and I hope you do too. But the things that I say, I'm talking to me too. I'm never did I want anyone to think that I'm pious. I'm not. I'm scared to death of hell. I love the Lord. I'm trying to enjoy my journey in life to going to heaven. Amen? And that's the whole thing. And I entitled this lesson today, if you could say, the life expectancy or God expectancy. What does God expect of us, the Christians in life, the brothers and sisters in Christ? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we act so that others know that we're ambassadors to God? And when I talk, I use coaching techniques, I use military techniques, and I use good old cornbread-fed southern techniques. That's just the way that I am. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And thank you for coming. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do. Last night, Father, I was really apprehensive. I was worried about the tornadoes in Mississippi and the one that was killed be with his family. The wind blew and the sound was bad. And I thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your love, and most of all, God, Father, thank you for your grace that is so sufficient. Thank you for loving us and being with us. Thank you for giving us a time here on earth. Next Sunday, we meet together. One or two of us may not be here. Our time has come. What I try to do and what you try to feed me and I feed them is to enjoy our trip in this journey called life. Be the best that we can do with what we have, where we're at, and where we're planted. Lord, you know we all have issues. We all sin and make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we love you. And my purpose and my mission is to make them understand, as my brothers and sisters, to read the Word, to know the Word, and understand your love. How precious is your love, and we thank you so much. Be with us in this class. Give me a ready recollection of the things you have placed on my heart by the Holy Spirit. And thank you for every person here today, every soul. And Father, if it just touches one soul, if there's one soul out there with itching ears, this lesson is for you and me. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers," unquote. Everything Jesus was, everything he taught, and everything he did was a manifestation of God's love. The love of God enriches the lives of everyone who allows him to pour it into their heart. You have to be willing to hear it. It is possible to experience the love of God firsthand and to allow your life to become a channel in God's love. This is the wisest way we can choose to live. The opposite of love is hate. Hate follows the path of bitterness, dissension, and torn apart relationships. When we love, when the love of God is a powerful force in our life, and his love reaches out to others through you, your own life is enriched in a way you never thought possible. Unquote. Thank you so much for listening. What I'm about to say is, it came to me, and I'm giving it to you. And it's called God's Expectation. What does God expect you and I to do? And I only got less than 25 minutes to do it. Emotions. And listen to the words quietly and listen. Emotions and the quality of self-discipline control our lifestyle and character. In other words, we let our emotions run for our life. Some of us, sometimes we just say what we want to say and let it go. A bad word sometimes is like an arrow shot from a bow. Once I shoot it, I can't control it. And if somebody runs out in a way in front of the arrow, I'm screaming, "Watch out, watch out." But I've already shot the arrow. Sometimes when we say something to somebody or someone, sometimes we love them. And sometimes we may really be against them. But once you say it, it's like that arrow that's shot. You can't bring it back. And sometimes it hurts so deeply. It goes so deep. Then you may ask, "Would you forgive me?" And they may say, "Yeah, I'll forgive you." But it's something that they'll never forget. What you did to them, remember what I say, they'll never forget. They'll always forget what you do for them. They'll forget what you say to them. But they'll never forget how you made them feel. So when you act discordantly, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to heaven. There's not a soul sitting in here today that's not going to heaven. Your journey, you should enjoy. And that's what we're talking about. Do you enjoy? We cannot do any better. Now listen to this. This was fed to me. We cannot do any better if we don't know any better. And so that's why every Sunday morning for the last 8 years, I've always said, let's talk and listen. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't read the playbook of life, how do you know any better? If teachers, pastors, leaders may tell us things, but until we read it ourselves, until we read it ourselves and understand what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we just casually go throughout life not understanding what we're supposed to do. Listen to this. Our lifestyle depicts our personality, character, and understanding values of life. It's a controlled mindset. So what you may think, what you may do, you don't realize sometimes that it's causing disconcernment. It's causing pain. It's causing heartache. And you don't do anything about it. You go on your merry way. Well, I'll go to church. I'll read the Bible every now and then. And it's what you do, how you act, the way you carry yourself. Why did you go to this place? Why did you say what you said? Why do you act the way you do? Why do you act so, what we call it, bipolar? One day you come up to me, hey, how you doing? That's fine. The next day you come like a wildcat, mean, atrocious. People afraid to get around you. And you're so powerful in your hate and disgust. It's like you're carrying the burdens of the world. And it shouldn't be that way. The more you read the Bible, the more you hear about the Word, the better off you're going to be. The better off life will be. It's a controlled mindset. Once you control your mind, we have two little dogs, 14 years old, and they're little poodles. And one died this week. And the other one went completely crazy. I mean, he just went crazy. He's healthy. He's bright. He goes out there and cries like a wolf. But we had to change some things and do things and reteach him about doing things. And sometimes humans are that way. We do things that we shouldn't do, and we are not realizing that we're not getting away with it. We should master our emotions. In other words, don't react without thinking, or we have to suffer consequences. You ever see these riots, the people that are protesting on television? They go completely crazy, completely nuts. They say what they want to say. They don't care who they hurt, what they say. You ever go to a family reunion, Thanksgiving, everybody's having a good time, and there's always somebody that's going to disrupt it. They're going to totally wipe out that happy situation because they want to speak what they want to speak. They want to say what they want to say. And you say, well, this is rough. That's one time coaches have a tough time when you're having a staff meeting and all of us have to agree to what we're going to have to say to the players. We got a tough game on Friday night, and we have to really get them ready in their mindset. The mindset, how you think, how you believe, what are you going to do? Are you suffering the consequences? And a lot of times, we don't understand that. We say, well, other people suffer consequences. And sometimes we suffer the consequences, and we don't realize what's happening to us because we don't read the Bible. We don't understand why these consequences are happening to us. Somebody, sometimes, you know, I'm always saying to them, I'm loaded with athletes out here. We got quite a few out there today. And sometimes we go out to eat. We meet at different places to eat and stuff like that. And if I have something on my mouth or on my teeth, and I've said this 1,000 times, most of them would tell me, Coach, you got something on your mouth. Well, wipe it off. Don't be insulted because they told you. Do you have someone that loves you enough to say your zipper's unzipped or your shirt's pulled out or you're not doing this, or they just let you do? And sometimes people are, and I've seen this. I grew up in New Orleans, and I've seen people are so mean and ugly that people just walk away from them. And sometimes they were supposed to be a Christian. And sometimes we need to be alert of what's happening on these things. The concepts of doing the right thing should be our desire in our life. In God we trust. For the last 30 years, I have a stamp, and I'm from old school. I pay my bills with a stamp. I call up if something's wrong. But every time I mail that letter, I take that stamp, in God we trust. In God we trust. It's important that we understand that. The approaching event in your life, something that's going to come up, say, well, I'm going to have a surgery in 2 days, or my son's coming home from the Army in 3 days, or I'm supposed to do this in 4 days. Something's coming up. It's important that we understand that. The approaching event or circumstance coming up in our lives should be considered. How do we approach it? Some of us, the main thing that comes out of our heart, no way. And we got players that way, football players, wrestlers, that do the same thing. We had this guy from Arab, and I told you this story before, but I love it. We had this wrestler, a 152-pounder. He'd been with us, I guess, for about 6 weeks. He knew some good technique. He was a good wrestler. And Arab was coming to our place to wrestle. It was a tri-match. And I knew that he was going to be wrestling the former state champion, but I didn't want him to know about that. And so I tried to tell him in coaching psychology, and somebody said, well, that was a lie. I said, you see that woman up there in that suit? And he said, yes, sir. I said, that's her son out there. And he hasn't won too many matches. And I want you to carry him to the third round. And then third round, pin him. He said, well, coach, he looked at that guy, and the guy was lean, didn't look very tough. Sometimes vision can fool you. He said, can I take him in the second round? I said, no, let's wait till the third round and carry him. So the wrestling match begins. That boy whipped him. He cross-faced him. That's when they didn't bother about blood coming out of his mouth and nose and teeth. And they went into the third round, and I told him, okay, now pin him. Pin him. He's killing me. Well, I don't see how he's doing that because he's only been out there for 1 year. And so he started changing his mind. Referee put him down. They said, let's go. And they went. And that guy almost pinned my guy twice. But he would strain. You could see the veins in his neck, the blood coming from his mouth, nasty stuff coming from his nose. He did the best thing he could probably do, and some with just assuming human strength, turned him over. And when he did, his blade hit the ground, and roughly hit the ground. My kid won. He jumped up. He had beat the defending state champ, but he didn't know that. So he shook hands with the other coach and came over to me, crying. And I handed the pen to him. He said, I'm sorry it took so long. I said, sorry. I didn't have the guts to tell him. So he got behind me over and the door was open, and they told him. And I turned around because the other match was going on. I looked at him, and he was against the wall, and he just floated down the wall. But what that other wrestler told me, he said, Coach Coburn, I don't know what you did for him, but next week when y'all come up to ARAM, I said, I'll kill him. When we went up there next week, what do you think happened? He pinned my kid in 19 seconds. Why are you telling us this? Because sometimes we think there's no way we can win. There's no way we can do it, but it's a mindset. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We went up there, and he wrestled not to win. And that's the way we do in life. So we got two ways of saying, no way. And then the other one is, nevertheless, since last May, I have been really sick at times. And I kept thinking, no way. And I always thought about that match. And I've had some good wrestlers in here, football players come up to over the house sometimes and talk to me. And if it wasn't for them, I would never thought, nevertheless, I'm going to get past it. I lost 60-something pounds. I feel better than I've ever felt better in my life. I feel good because people love me enough to never give up on me. And that's the same way we do it. Sometimes we get mad at ourselves. We hate ourselves. And that's why I always tell you, go look in the mirror and look real close. Shut the door. Don't let no one come in and look at yourself and say, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I acting the way I am? And then we always talk about the sins of omissions and sins of commission. Omit, you omit the things that you should. You should be kind. You should help people. Be kind to the elderly. You should be loving each other. And if you're married, you have your spouse. It's supposed to be your soulmate. It's supposed to be your helpmate. And sometimes when we have so many problems, and they say, how do you know all this? Because people come over the house all the time. It's like a counseling service. Been in that house for 42 years. I'm an old man. I've seen a lot of things. And sometimes couples get divorced when they're 54 years in their marriage. You know why? Because they don't touch each other. They don't love each other. They don't have the fire and flame that they used to have. And all they do is criticize each other. Criticism. Always looking for something better in their greener pastures. Not realizing what it would cost you. And sometimes if you don't learn to change this mindset, change this way of thinking, it'll never happen. We should harness our emotions. As a man thinketh, so is he. As you think in your heart, you are. If you think you're down, you're going to stay down. If you think you're defeated, you will be defeated. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, wonder what happened. Did we just say, no way we can beat them? They wiped out the whole fleet almost. Or did we say, nevertheless, in that next week, millions of people employed and drafted had come in. And it wasn't very long till we hit Midway, about 8 months later, and we wiped them out. Just never surrender. That's saying never surrender. Never, never surrender. But only unto God. And just understand that. And sometimes, after you lecture in high school for 30-something years, and I've been a Sunday school teacher ever since I was in 10th grade, and people, you learn to look at them, and I told you all this for us, and of course I took a lot of psychology in college. People will tell you if they're lying. Now, somebody come to class late, remember me telling you about that? And I said, why are you late? Ms. Smith wanted to talk. He's telling me right off the bat I'm lying. And so it's how your body sometimes tells people what they're saying. Remember me telling you, and you always laugh about it because it was facetious. And you first time you fell in love, and you tell this girl that you love her, and you're not sure if she loves you, and you tell her, I love you, I love you, I'd do anything for you. And then she would never tell you, or he would never tell you, girl, that he loves you. And sometimes you want it so desperately. And you get angry, and you say, tell me you love me. All right, I love you. It's how you say it. It's how you do it. It's how you read your Bible. It's how you do not read. The sins that you omit. That you're supposed to be kind to each other. You're supposed to touch each other. You're supposed to love each other. You're going to be there for the rest of your life. According to what I read in the Bible about heaven, we're going to know her, and they're going to know us. We're going to be there. And the journey that we're traveling, the journey is the most important thing. Why waste it? Why do we not harness that emotion? I'm going to heaven. I'm royal blood. What we think about, listen to this, and I've had this happen to me a lot of times too in college. What we think about can and will cause or enhance depression or worry. If you think negative, if I'm going to the doctor tomorrow and all night long I turn, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to tell me I got cancer. He's going to tell me I'm going to die. He's going to tell me. Where's your hope? Where's your belief that you've been taught by the Word of God? And sometimes we don't realize that we suffer the consequences of how we think, how we motivate ourselves. So this journey that we're talking about, it's important what we think. In the book of Isaiah, it states, and God, we know we need it today. It states, come, let us reason. Sometimes we need to walk out there in that mob and say, wait a minute, quit killing each other. Let's reason what's going on. Let's reason and come to God. The Scripture tells us that. Understand the inscription, the Word of God, and know that God is good. Sometimes we may, did you know, like, and we're almost finished. Sometimes to know that God is good, when all this darkness, all this rain, day in and day after, I've actually heard people get mad at God. Why is God doing this? God's not doing it. And sometimes we get angry at the Almighty. We get mad at God. We don't do the things we're supposed to do. And the Bible continuously tells us to confess one to another. If an athlete comes over and they tell me something, and we talk to each other, it's confessing to one another is good. And the Bible, to relate to that, it says, iron sharpens iron. And that's true. As man sharpens man. If you find somebody that you love, somebody that you respect, somebody that could really help you, it sharpens you. It makes you want to keep moving. It's just like after a hard scrimmage at practice week. It's so bad when you spit, it's like cotton coming out of your mouth. I played 13 seasons myself. And sometimes you go in the shower, you just sit there laying the wall, and then you look at the next guy, and you just laugh because we made it again. And sometimes we have to go through ordeals, and we got to believe in each other. Remember, God is a God of justice. He will make wrong into right. If you believe, if you love, and sometimes my group here where I sit with the peanut gallery, I call it, sometimes you look at people way back there in the back, sometimes you know the way they're looking at you, like they're looking out the window. I'm not hearing you. Hello? Somebody, it's like Paul Revere, the British are coming. If somebody is saying, wake up. Wake up. When are you going to understand that you're going to heaven? That you are royal blood? That you are going to heaven and we're going to be up there? And people are looking at you. No matter what you're doing, if you do something bad and bad and bad, you're causing somebody. You're a diplomat. The Bible says that we're diplomats. And it's important that we understand that. And to never surrender. Before I came here 8 years ago, from a conservative religion, I always say never surrender. But once I got here, I love these people. I love being around these people. Never surrender, but unto God only. I want that on my tombstone, but unto God only. It's important the way you think, the way you believe, the way you act. Be a good person, in other words. Be the best person you be. Last thing. I always say it, and it's an athletic term, but you can do it in family and domestic and church life. I'm going to do the best I can with what I have, where I'm at, and I'm going to prosper because I'm protected by love, I'm protected by God, and God will not allow the devil to do anything to me that he will not allow. So I'm assured of that. If it's happening to me, I get mad at the devil. But I'm learning from it. Learn, and understand what's going on. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for listening.